Alan's message this morning, which really is a prelude in some ways to this message. And I have no idea exactly the total direction this is going to go. I just know how to start it. But Alan was talking this morning, and I'm really going, this is a summary of summaries. You've got to hear the message. But really how it's in most of the church world, or in much of the church world at least, Christians were still pretty much very often being controlled and directed by Alan was calling the outer man. I'm going to call it the unrenewed portion of us. I'm going to call it the part of us that still thinks like a Old Testament person almost, who, you know, still trying to be accepted by God rather than reveling in the fact we've already accepted by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to get into, Alan did a superb job. I'm not even going to try and touch that. But there was an image at the end that he brought up that was perfect for this lesson. Because he said, you know, if you know of the Buddhist monks, you could pick other monks, but you know, most of us have seen on television the Buddhist monks wearing the robes and the bald head and everything that they do. See, these guys, their outer man is not controlling them through, let's go to the bar, let's get drunk, let's sleep around, let's, you know, let's go to the world for fame and fortune. The things that we typically think are sins or the controlling of the old man is not controlling them. What are they doing? When Dave would teach along this line, he would say, the Great Commission is to go and tell, but religion will get you to hold up and shut up. Take a vow of silence. It's, you know, and think you're doing it for God. You know, it's you're being controlled by the natural reasoning of the old man. Is that close enough? Okay. And so the point was, listen, that old man, he can control you in what we typically call sin. And he can control you when it comes to religion. And it doesn't have to be as severe. You know, it's easy to see with the monk how that's religion, the opposite of what the Great Commission is. He says, we don't really yet understand the degree to which our thought processes have not yet been renewed, really, to think like the new creature we really are. And we're still being controlled to a certain point by the thought processes of the unrenewed mind. See, and that brings us, of course, right to Romans 12, verse 2, that we no longer be conformed to the world. Now, see, we automatically think drinking, chewing, fornication, those type of things. But what about the world's form of religion? See, whether it's Tibetan monks or powerless Christianity. Did I say that out loud? I did. Why is it powerless? Because we don't think right. We're still being controlled by thought processes that do not belong to the new man. So, trying to get the sequence. I have certain things that I know I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to get the sequence. I'm just going to go ahead and do this now because this is the image. My job is to follow the pictures that the Holy Spirit creates. See, all of us to some degree that have been doing this message for a spell, for a while, for 20 years, for a long time, 1 year, you know, with some that's new. Obviously, we've transformed our thinking a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things that I know how I used to think on so many topics that are just, they're silly, stupid, gone a long time ago. But see, we're still not walking in the fullness of the power that we're supposed to be walking in. Well, what does that tell you? Well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, there's still thinking in me, in us, that you would have to categorize as unbelief. This thinking produces unbelief. The end result is unbelief. Otherwise, I mean, when they said, why couldn't we cast that devil out? Jesus didn't mince words with them. He said, because of your unbelief. Well, he wouldn't say anything different to us. Amen? There are people here. Amen? I start doing like Bronk. Can I buy an amen? Who will give an amen? Put on that mic. So when Alan was teaching this morning, and really I had this image before this morning, but Alan's teaching brought it even further. This has been an eventful week. I'm going to give you the picture here. This is This has been an eventful week for me. We're coming to the end of, 2 years of purging in the fire? And there's been purging. Each of us could probably come and tell something that's gone from 2 years ago. Even if it's just a way of thinking. I'm getting some real amens here, you know. But maybe other things too, you know. Yes, sir. I got another picture that comes before that picture. Years ago, there was a friend of Dave's who started out in the early days of ministry. And I hesitate to mention names anymore because you never know. As soon as I mention a name, you read about them in the paper that they fell. So I'm not prophesying that. There's no point mentioning the name. But it's somebody that traveled with Dave and had good ministry and everything. And one time he was ministering here and he was telling a story. He says, one time I just asked the Lord. I said, trying to be humble. He said, if there was a thermometer on the wall back there that went from 0 to the 100 on the ceiling, and that represents your spiritual progress, or you could say your maturity level. He said he was trying to be humble, so he was giving a number lower than where he thought he probably really was. And he said, where am I? About 60%, 70% on 0 to 100. And he says, about that moment, a light started flashing 2 inches off the floor. I had an experience kind of like that this week, even before I heard Alan's message. I didn't exactly ask the Lord for it, but through a series of events, he brought it to me anyway. How many remember Star Wars and Jabba the Hutt? Anyone too young to remember? Anyone not know who Jabba the Hutt is? They're not going to raise. Everybody knows? You don't know? Well, in Star Wars, one of the episodes, Jabba the Hutt looks like a jello blob of a person, probably weighs 1,000 pounds, and he's just all blubber. And he's nasty. And a really good picture of the flesh, blubber. I saw myself this week as Jabba the Hutt. And I'm going, God, no. I'm going to be 75 in January. If all this time, I'm still Jabba the Hutt. Thankfully, he said, only in certain areas. And that's where the purging is going on. Well, that helped a little. Lord, I still do not like the Jabba the Hutt analogy. But I think we're all like that to a certain degree. You can be really strong. I've known Christians in my 40 years walking with the Lord. I've known Christians very strong with the healing message. If they get sick, it's gone like that. And they just seem to always walk in health. But yet those people may have a hard time believing God for $10, prosperity of any kind. Other people are very renewed when it comes to the Lord being their provider. But they may struggle with health. Other people, maybe they have both of those okay, but their family's a mess, Unforgiveness is a problem. In other words, you can be strong in many areas and still be a little Jabba the Hutty. Have a little Jabba the Huttness in another area, okay? Well, not just individually, but body-wide. And I'm talking church-wide. I'm talking worldwide now. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing, which hinders the flow of the Spirit of God. Now, if you don't believe that, I didn't believe it for years, to be honest with you. I was raised to believe God is sovereign. How many knows God is sovereign? Well, He is. He is sovereign. And He sovereignly decided 6,000 years ago when He made man, He sovereignly decided that man was going to rule earth. You can't change his mind about that. This also ties in with Alan's beginning part of his message about why the Lord had to wait 4,000 years for Jesus to be born. He wasn't really waiting. He was doing what had to be done in order that Jesus could legally come and be the Redeemer and start a new species. But I'm trying not to. Okay. Now, if you don't believe that, see, I didn't believe for years that my unbelief could hold back the hand of a sovereign God. Come on. Who am I? I'm an ant. I mean, you know, come on. I know me. You're telling me my unbelief can hold back the hand of a sovereign God? Come on. He's sovereign. He's God. But what are you going to do with Matthew 17? Here's Jesus' hand-trained disciples. And a man had an epileptic son, or a son who had seizures anyway. And he's had it from a little boy. And this thing's really serious. Throws him in the fire, throws him in the water. It says he pined away. If you look that up, it means he probably looked like skin stretched over a skeleton. Difficult circumstances to look at. And the disciples had already been casting out devils and healing the sick. If you look at the chronology of things, it's not like they didn't have any experience. They did. But doing everything that they knew to do, they could not get that devil to come out of that boy. Well, of course, Jesus and the ones who were with him up on the mount came down. And he says, "You bring that boy to me." And in short order, that boy was free. Well, now there's the question of the ages. And they waited till they could get Jesus alone, because if they'd have asked him publicly, he would have answered publicly. Why could not we cast him out? You know, and it had to be perplexing to them, because they'd been casting out devils. And he didn't mince any words. He just said, "Because of your unbelief." He talked to them some about mustard seed faith, but see, many... No side trails. But then he tells them the solution. How many knows Jesus? Thank God he not only gives us the problem, but he gives you the answer to the problem. How be it, or this is how it be. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Is he talking about this kind of devil? No. It's your unbelief. It's your unbelief. That prayer and fasting. Now, modern translations, many of them leave that verse out. If you have one of those, throw it away. Because Jesus did say it. You'll find it over in Mark's gospel too. Now, this kind cometh not out by my unbelief. What if we translated that to our situation today? We're not in revival because of our unbelief. Is that not a true statement? How many thinks it's the will of God that we be in? And I'm not talking about hiring an evangelist to hold a 2-week meeting at our church to have people come. I'm talking about an outpouring that's going to change a nation. Amen. And change a world. A real, real outpouring. Well, how many thinks it's the will of God that we have that outpouring? Absolutely. How many thinks, do you think he's holding it back? So he gave me an image one time when I was going through Matthew 17, and he does this quite often. I'm sure he does it with you too. Suddenly I was one of the disciples, and I'm in the story, and I'm praying for this boy, this young man, I think at that point, this young man who's got this devil. And I've cast out devils before, but this one I can't get him out. And it's not because he's such a big bad devil. It's because of my unbelief. And he gave it to me in a picture like this. And I'm going to step aside just a little bit for the cameraman here. And I need a... Kevin, would you come be my Holy Ghost? He went, "I knew he was going to call on me. I knew he was." But Kevin's big and I'm not, see. Here's this all-powerful... manly, Holy Ghost. Step right behind me. Wait just a minute. Wait a minute. Now he's got all, give us some of this. He's got all this power. Now he doesn't want to do it. He don't want none of that. It's too much. Too much. You can't handle it. He's got all power. Would you believe the Holy Ghost can cast that devil out in a heartbeat? Jesus said, if I cast out devils, at least give us a little finger. If I cast out devils by the finger of God. Bloop. That's all it takes. That's all the power that it requires from God the Holy Ghost. Now get the picture. Now there, the Holy Ghost was working with them. With us, it's the Holy Ghost in us. But I don't know how to do that picture. So I'm going to do the Holy Ghost with Gary. So stand right behind me. Right behind me. Just like that. Give me your arms. Now. Can you see the little fingers? He's ready. He's good to go. He's ready to cast out this devil. He's got both fingers going here. Is that good or what? And he's perfectly capable. It is God the Holy Ghost. He is with me. It is the will of God that that boy be healed. But there's unbelief in Gary holding back the hands of an almighty God. God sovereignly decided at the beginning, man will rule on this planet. Now the man that's ruling right now, his name is Jesus. But if our unbelief is involved, Gary's unbelief, if I was one of those there that day, Jesus plainly said, because of your unbelief, which means their unbelief, my unbelief, your unbelief, is holding back the hands of an almighty God. Thank you. Give the Holy Ghost a hand to him. Thank you. I love the little fingers. That was perfect. Now that brings me to this prophecy. And unless you have signed up to receive the prophecies that come through Dave Roberson Ministry, I'm talking about the email list, which you can just go to the homepage and up on that border there, email, you can click right there and sign up. But see, this one, this prophecy that I'm about to read was not delivered through a pulpit here in Tulsa. In fact, actually, I don't think it was delivered through a pulpit anywhere. But it's one of the people that are trusted to hear from the Lord. And every one of these words, now, by the way, are judged by myself, by Bronk, by Jim, by others, some you know and some you don't know. There's quite a list. And everything has to be with Scripture. We have to find Scripture for every statement. And sometimes, you know, you kind of put your neck out there because sometimes you go, okay, this is good and this is not good. We're taking this part out. So I want you to know now this one did not come spoken through a microphone at this church, nor any church that I know of. The only way you would have this one is if you're on that email list, see. But the Lord's, and I read it, I remember reading it at the time and agreeing with it. But I did not give it the importance that it deserves. So, well, who did it come through? Honey, it doesn't matter who it came through. What matters is who it came from. I just gave you the process we've been going through. I believe this is God, the Holy Ghost, which means it came from the mind of Christ. Think about thought processes. Think about unbelief. And what we're after is a flow. Yes, sir. I was supposed to tell you this scripture. I've only got one for today that I know of. Let's look at it, though, in your Bible. I know it's very familiar to you. John chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 37 through 39. And even as you're looking that up, okay, no, I'm going to read it first. Yes, sir. John 7:37, starting there. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, and it should be capital S, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now notice it says rivers, plural. I looked that up in the Strong's. Then I looked it up in Thayer's. Strong's means just what you'd think. It's a flowing, this is a flowing water, not a lake, but a flowing water. Could be a stream, a river, or a flood. Thayer's says a stream, a river, a torrent, T-O-R-R-E-N-T, and floods. Now, Jesus said rivers, plural. Many of us start off thinking that that's tongues. I believe it is tongues. I believe that is the Holy Spirit making intercession for us. It is not just words. It is the very intercession of the mind of Christ himself, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit allows those prayers to go through you if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. So rivers of prayers, rivers of tongues. But see, really what he's talking about, it's beyond that. Because when you share your testimony, it doesn't mean you're an evangelist. But if you just share your testimony with an unbeliever, what great things Jesus has done for you. You are now letting a river of life come out of you. Whether they drink of the water, that's their choice. But you've gotten past being ashamed of the gospel, and you're freely sharing your testimony. You may not be an evangelist. We're all called to be a witness. And a witness is one who was there. And I can tell you what great things the Lord has done for me. And you can tell what great things the Lord has done for you. Well, there's a river of life. But in this outpouring, there's going to be signs and wonders and healings, and they're all going to flow out of us by the Holy Spirit. He plainly says what the river is. It flows of the Holy Spirit. Could be healing flow. Could be deliverance flow. Could be prosperity flow. Could be many things. Getting people set free from all kinds of addictions, mental illness, all kinds of life. These rivers flowing out of us. But now, so you got a picture. River of life flowing out of you. And how many of you know the prophecies again and again? This is not going to be a one-man show. It's supposed to flow out of you. Are you born again? Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost? You got the Holy Ghost on the inside? Isn't he supposed to flow to the outside? Okay. So now, I'm going to read this one. It's a little bit long. You wouldn't believe how he got this to me this morning. It was supernatural as anything. If you want to look this up, it's in the title they put on it is Carving Out New Paths. And it came on September 23rd of this year. September 23rd. So it's fairly recent. Now, keep in mind, wrong thought patterns hinder. Let's say it this way. Wrong thought patterns causes unbelief. Unbelief can hold back the hands of an almighty God. Said another way, unbelief can hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit. Got that in mind? For many years, I have been carving out new paths, wider and smoother paths for my river, my presence, to run through. The streams of thinking through the generations changed the course and narrowed the path of my truth, limiting the flow, the manifestation of my presence in the lives of my people. Some have been able to break out into a flow of my spirit, and that flow has been as a spilling out over the banks of the river. But understanding revelations were needed to enlarge the pathway for my spirit and his truths to flow freely in a generation of believers. Did you hear that paragraph? God, should I read it again? I'm going to anyway. Some have been able to break out into a flow of my spirit, and that flow has been as a spilling out over the banks of the river. But understanding, revelations were needed to enlarge the pathways for my spirit and his truths to flow freely in a generation of unbelievers. Now is the time in my spirit that the banks of the river are being moved outward. Now there is a generation, a people who have been pressing into the revelations of my truth through the fellowship of my spirit. And the boundaries of understanding, the banks of the river, are being widened to much greater degrees. I have been carving away the limits that have been in place. I have been carving away the boundaries of the teachings of man that have carried through for generations, limiting my moves and holding back my presence. Do you notice that, teachings of man? There has been great resistance against the generations who have pressed to know me in the fellowship of my spirit. The battle against this generation continues and increases as forces of darkness attempt to hold back the widening of my river in a people who know me in truth, in ever-deepening fellowship. The river is getting wider, and the paths of the river have been changing course as the banks of tradition and the teachings of man are carved away by my truth and the fellowship of my spirit with the remnant of this generation. Soldiers of faith have gone before you, passing the torch from one generation to another. But this outpouring cannot be fully studied or learned through things of the past. I'm going to read that sentence again. Soldiers of faith have gone before you, passing the torch from one generation to another. But this outpouring cannot be fully studied or learned through things of the past. For every soldier, every generation has their own fellowship with me. And this outpouring is not yesterday's outpouring for yesterday's times. This is a move of my spirit working in the soldiers of fellowship of today. Now get this. An army humble, willing, devoted to the transformative work of my spirit. Many will be used. Hear that? Many will be used, for the rivers are widening. From the young all the way to the Calebs who take their mountains, this is your time. This is your generation. Love and love's truth are the foundation. The grace of humility is the strength of this work. There is no victory of merit without love. And the path of love is for the aggressive in spirit. Did you hear that sentence? I want to say that again. There is no victory of merit without love. And the path of love is for the aggressive in spirit. For love requires the laying down of one's life for the love and will of another. And there's a capital A on that word, another. Not my will. Thine be done. Love is humble. Love is willing. Love is wise. Love is enduring, hoping, and believing. And is the mature image being brought forward? Hang on. hang on and follow the flow. For the truths being found in the one who is love are widening and changing the paths of the river, so that my presence and power might be manifested through you wherever you are. This is your time. This is your generation. And this is your life in me. With the prayer center's permission, we'll post that as a PDF along with this teaching. It's already gone out in the email. Again, if you're not signed up to receive the email of the prophecies and other things that come out, the monthly letter and so forth, but it's all in it. You just sign up one time, you get it all. DaveRoberson.org, and look on the homepage, email, you'll see it. Now, this same week, you know, it's wonderful, you pray and you pray and you pray, Lord, change me, change me, change me, but don't show me too much about myself. And there's a reason for that. If he shows you too much, okay, I'll just talk about me and not you. If he shows Gary too much of how Jabba the Huttish Gary really is, it might discourage me to the point I just give up and say there's no hope. And we get enough of that from the enemy, don't we? Because I'm telling you right now, it's not the Lord telling anybody to give up. It's not the Lord telling you to quit. It's not the Lord telling you you don't have... Anyway. Charge. Full speed ahead is what the Holy Spirit is saying. See, and that brings me to this other prophecy I'm going to read. Now, this one did come through this pulpit. Hans is here. This came through Hans. And there were four prophecies. This is the most recent message that he did. I believe it's the one right after Thanksgiving. If you want to look it up, I was on a Sunday morning. And there were four prophecies that came to him, and all four of them are just amazing. But there's one in particular that gives us a warning about one of the enemy's main deceptions that is coming. And he doesn't give us complete detail, but he gives us enough detail. Gary, and why did you mention about him showing you more of your own Jabba the Huttness? We're not going to have revival without obedience. And I'm just going to talk about me. So you can sit there and act like it's not about you. No, I mean, okay. Because we've all obeyed him to a certain extent. Moses obeyed the Lord. For an Old Testament guy with a sin nature, it amazes me how Moses obeyed God. And really the only time that real disobedience was the time when he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. But that was a big mistake. See, we've all obeyed the Lord to a certain point, or you wouldn't even still be here. You wouldn't be here, whether you're listening or physically here, you wouldn't still be connected if you hadn't been obeying the Lord a lot. So I'm going to talk about me. Same with me. I can tell you all kinds of things. We're Sue and I together. I've obeyed the Lord. Some of it took quite a bit. But this week he showed me a level, and God only knows how bad it really is. But he showed me a level where I've been missing God for a long time. That's got to change. I kind of knew it, but I didn't really know it. I didn't know it sufficiently to change until he'll give you a peek, an insight, a look sufficient where at least on that you can change. Now there may be 147 more changes coming. Yeah, or 10,427. I don't know. But whatever he's dealing with you on right now, he'll give you enough where if you want to change, you can. Well, that's happened with me this week on another subject. And I'm either going to change or I'm not going to be in the revival. Is that clear enough? Because there's no substitute for obedience. What do you substitute for that? I want to give a bigger offering. I'm not going to obey you, but I'm going to give a big. That's Alan's message this morning. So anyway, these prophecies came through Hans. And I had a glimpse of this. There's a dark time coming. I don't know much about it. He mentions it also through Hans. And he doesn't know much about it either, I don't think. If he does, I need to know. Anyway, we're going to meet right after the service. But a warning came through one of those four prophecies. And I want to read that to you instead of me trying to summarize it. It also is about a page long. Now, the Lord is very encouraging, though. If you take all four of the prophecies, the Lord was very pleased with us. Okay, so, but this is the part that has the warning in it. And so that's the part I'm going to read today. Do not allow those who have what may seem to be good intentions to distract you and take you down a path that I have not ordained. For you see, this is a time when you who are called of me, you who are called to this purpose. Now let's stop. What purpose is he talking about? He's talking about revival. The call that God gave Dave Roberson all those years ago to gather a group of people and take them far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city that would then spread around the world. That's the vision. Nothing else is. Okay, that's our calling. This is a time when you who are called of me, you who are called to this purpose, must become even more narrowly focused than before. For it is a time when the distractions will be more and more subtle. It will seem almost like the right thing to do. And many times will seem as though it is the best thing to do. But you know how I have trained you, and you know how I lead you. And during the days, weeks, and months to come. Now say with me. Say days. Weeks, months to come. Now this only came right after Thanksgiving. So whatever this is hadn't come yet. And you may go through something in a week and go, that's it. Well, he said you better be on guard for months. Okay? So to me, that really stood out. Days, weeks, months to come. Be on guard. There will be a deception that seems so pure, seems so right, it seems like it would bring the answer. But it is not of me. And it is going to be very important that you stay steadfast, laser focused on that which I have given you, the instructions that I have brought. Now for me, that's the blueprint. That's the instructions that the Lord gave us when we started into this purging. So it's at least those first 10 prophecies. And also, to me, it's the subsequent ones that have come thereafter. But if I had to just stay with the bare bones, I would say the first 10. That what we commonly have called the blueprint. Well, you know the instructions that are in there. Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me in my presence. Spend time fasting. Spend time in prayer. Gather together. He's going to mention that again here. Gather together in times of prayer. Okay. I'm going to read that last sentence again. It's going to be very important that you stay steadfast, laser focused on that which I have given you, the instructions that I have brought. As I have cautioned before, now, the enemy is working through family, through close relationships, through ideas that would appear to bring blessings to you, to your family, and those around you. So whatever this is, it's going to, oh, this is going to bless my family. This is going to bless my relationships. This is a blessing. Then he says, beware of the deception. Beware of the ploys and simply follow me. plain English. Keep doing the blueprint. Stay laser focused on what I've told you to do. Do not change. Even though this will look like it's got to be some kind of change to get you off the path, but it's going to look like the answer, but he's saying you keep doing what I told you. All right. Back to reading. This is not a time to veer off course. How plain can he be? How plain can he be? But I'm tired of going down there Wednesdays, 10 o'clock in the morning until 8:30. I'm tired of going down there on Fridays, 10 o'clock to 8:30. I'm sure tired of that. Saturdays are made for my flesh. Don't you know that, Lord? No, I'm sorry. Nobody says that out loud. Nobody says that out loud. This is not a time to veer off course. This is not a time. Now, this really hit me because I'd been having some inklings of a few things to do. And he says here, this is not a time to begin something new. Well, those ideas, they're going in the hold folder. Maybe later. But if it interferes with prayer, if it interferes with fasting, if it interferes with worship, if it interferes with the word, if it interferes with the instructions we have been given, I'm not going to start anything new. Not until he says to. It is a time to continue and stay steadfast in that which I have given you. And you will see that on the other side, the deception will be so clear. You will be so relieved. You will be so happy that you stayed with me, that you will know beyond any shadow of a doubt, you will know that you are on the right course, that you have done the right things, and that you have stayed on the right track. Well, glory to God. There will be many who will follow another way. And you will be tempted to stop them and to grab a hold of them and say no, and to veer them off this direction and to say, follow me and come along this path. But I say to you, let them go. Now let me stop there for a moment. See, that is exactly what Jesus did. Remember, he at least had 70 plus the 12 that followed him all the time. Well, 82 is a fair congregation. A lot of churches would like to have 82 members, you know. I think he had thousands more than that, but we'd at least know there was 82. But he preached that one message, which was absolute truth. Unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. And that was just beyond the pale. And they're going, we don't understand this. We reject this. And it says they left. At least the 70. And they no longer followed him. And did you notice? Jesus didn't go running after them. Jesus didn't compromise the message. And he didn't run after them trying to send them an explanation of the message. What did he do? He let them go. And what's he telling us to do? Let them go. Okay. In fact, he even turned to the 12 after the 70 left. He said, what about you boys? That might be my paraphrase, but like he's going, there's the door. And you can tell they were thinking about it. Because he said, where would we go? And Sue and I have had that discussion so many times. I'm telling you, over these years, it gets tough. You get tired. You want to go somewhere where they tell you you're okay. You know what I mean? We're all okay. You know, but I mean, where they'll pamper you a little bit, you know? But we think about it, where would we go? Am I going to go somewhere and let them put me back under the law again? I'm going to go somewhere where they tell me miracles has passed away. Where would we go? This, they said to him, you have the words of life, and he still does. So he says here, but I say to you, let them go. And you will see that you will be equipped to help them on the other side of this attack. Not now. For I speak of a specific attack that is coming against this body, and even some specific people within this body, those connected to the message. And you will know, you will know. The temptation will be to take what appears to be the easy road out. But I assure you, you have within you the ability to keep following the truth that you know, to keep on the path that you are on. How clear can he make this? This is pretty clear. And as you do, you will become more and more equipped, more and more able to not only walk in the fullness of what I have you walk in with peace, but also you will be able to be the anchor for somebody else. So do not be distracted. Do not veer off course. Continue in the truth and in the understanding of what you have within you, what my Spirit has given you. And you will find that this place will become a place of refuge. Now he's talking about this place. And if you're in Immokalee, he's talking about that place. And if you're in Dayton, he's talking about that place. Wherever you are gathering with this message, you will find that this place will become a place of refuge even for yourselves. As you face difficult times, now get this, people. This is an instruction that's a little different than what we've had in the past. It's not really different. He's emphasizing it. Let me say it that way. As you face difficult times, run to the gathering of my people. Don't be isolated out there. How do wolves kill the sheep? They look for the weak one that's been isolated out there by itself. I'm going to read it again. As you face difficult times, run to the gathering of my people. Run and come and be a part of what is happening. And you will see that I will continue to bring the equipping and the things necessary for you to stand. No matter the vessel that stands behind this pulpit, and that would be the same again in Dayton, in Immokalee, or any of these places. No matter the vessel that stands behind the pulpit, I say to you this day, I will fill you with my presence as you come and gather in this place. I say to you, I will bring the necessary equipment for you to walk through every trial, every temptation, every ploy of the enemy. I myself will bring the equipment necessary. Do not allow yourself to be deceived to say, I don't need what this man is saying today. I don't need what that man is saying today. I don't need another sermon. I don't need another teaching. I don't need another hour around other people. But understand that I am using this place as a tool to bring to you the equipping that you need. Do not despise what I am doing here in this place. Now, people are either going to obey that or they're not. And I know that to large measure, as I look around the room, I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to many that are coming. Now, he knows that people have jobs and can't be here all that time. See what I have to watch the overflow of my heart, because there's people that I know have jobs, and they can't even get here till like 7 o'clock at night sometimes. They worked all day, and still they show up at 7 and they'll pray till 8:30. Boy, don't think the Lord doesn't notice that. Man, that's dedication there now. Can I read you the last one? I'm going to anyway. Because it's so encouraging. Now listen to this. This is the fourth one that came through Hans on that same day. What I see is this, and this part of this is Hans speaking, but what I see is this: revival is not far off, and we've stepped into just the beginning of the waters. There is a whole land of revival where the wind is beginning to just touch us, just breeze over us. It's like a breeze coming from the land of revival in the Spirit. Can I say it that way? We're beginning to receive little by little, little wafts, W-A-F-T-S, wafts of fresh air. Whew. If you spend any time watching the news, you can use some fresh air from the land of revival. We're beginning to receive little by little, little wafts of fresh air coming from that place of revival. And the world is going to begin to see this, and they're going to say, well, this can't be possible because it's never happened before. First, the church will see it. Then others who hadn't believed will see it, and they'll say, what is this? Some will scoff, some will make fun, some will be changed completely because it will blow their minds. But there is a breeze. Right now, it is only felt in the realms of the Spirit. And if you will enter in, you will begin to feel that and be refreshed and know that, yes, it's right around the corner. Yes, it is very close. Say it with me. Revival is very close. This breeze is a refreshing that's coming to those whose hearts have been sickened because their hope was deferred. So this is an encouragement to enter into the realms of the Spirit and listen for the breeze of revival and receive from it a refreshing that will rekindle the flame that once burned bright. There are some who have allowed the flame to dwindle down, and there is no condemnation, but in contrast, this is an encouragement to allow the flame to be rekindled by the wind of my Spirit as I blow from a place of revival, a refreshing upon you. Hans just isn't that smart. I love you, Hans, but come on, man. You're not smart enough to write that. Come on. Gee, mani. Holy cannoli. I'm going to read that again. Love you. He knows I love you. There are some who have allowed... Hey, I read the stuff that comes through me and I go, I'm not that smart. That's somebody else saying that. He said, there are some who have allowed the flame to dwindle down and there is no condemnation. But in contrast, this is an encouragement to allow the flame to be rekindled. Listen to this. Allow the flame to be rekindled by the wind of my Spirit as I blow from a place of revival, a refreshing upon you. God, can you see that picture? Glory to God, about to have a running fit. Receive from the Spirit, capital S, and you will see that it will become stronger and stronger until even the natural will begin to see these wafts of wind. And it will begin to catch attention until finally the wind is completely changed and blows. And there will be no denying what I am doing. There will be no denying the move of my Spirit. Glory to God. Now, I don't even know if that one has been sent out yet by email. If it's permissible, we'll put that one also if it's not ready yet. May have to wait a while. But sign up. Dear Lord, get these from the prayer center. Now my hour is up. Don't take any false hope with that. I'm listening to the Lord. Because there's something else I really want to share, but I don't know if he's going to let me or not yet. Can we just pray in the Spirit for a minute? I want to obey you fully, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and do it. It won't take but about 5 minutes. But I'm going to do it with this caveat, with this instruction. Now, what I'm about to share is for the mature. It's learn the voice of the Lord. Part of it is the repentance. I got a little look at the Jabba the Hutt still in Gary that has refused to obey some of the instructions. And really the reason why is I didn't think it was the Lord. So when I tell this story, which is a true story that I heard this week, it has to do with the revival that's coming and where we're going to have to rely more than we ever have in the past. We're going to have to rely is not the best. We're going to have to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit no matter what. Trust that it's Him. So, well, I don't know if I hear Him. Well, you're at the right church. If you do what's being taught here, you will know. Yes, sir. I'm just going to go ahead and tell the story. Now, when I tell this story, it's not a license for you to go off and do stupid stuff. Okay? Now, this is from a trusted minister who has been a full-time ministry over 50 years. I'm not going to tell you the name for the same reason I don't tell the names anymore. As soon as I mention the name, I read that they fell the next week. But this man has been in full-time ministry for 50 years, but he's telling a story that happened in the early days. He was raised in a slum. They didn't have anything. He had several brothers. He was already a Christian, spirit-filled Christian, but just barely, only a year or two being born again, not even maybe a year, very early on. But he was hearing the voice of the Lord. And in this poor slum where they lived, they didn't have anything. They hardly had food to eat. And it was his brother's birthday, and the father of the family had gone out and found some parts to build a bicycle from scratch, you know, just put the various parts together. But he put it together really nice and painted it so it didn't look like a scrapped bicycle. It looked like a new bicycle. And that was the birthday present for the brother. Well, the person telling the story says, he's begged his brother, let me borrow it. Can I just borrow your bicycle? Let me ride it. The brother finally let him, and 5 minutes later, it got stolen. Now, there's no way to replace the bicycle. They have no money. They have no way to replace it. And the person telling the story said, he was just sick. You can imagine. He was just sick. That he had borrowed it, and it got stolen. And he was a pretty new Christian, so here's what he said to God. He said, I am so angry that this happened, and I'm angry at you. And I'm going to remind you of this, how angry I am, God, every day, because I know that there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to get my brother's bicycle back. And every day of my life, no matter how long I live, I'm going to tell you again how mad I am and how powerless you are. See, we don't talk to God like He's real. I'm not recommending that way. I am telling you the story. God says, well, will you obey me? Well, I will, but it won't make any difference. So he tells him, he says, go to the barbershop. One reason I like the story, it has a barbershop in it. But the bicycle had been stolen from the barbershop. So he's telling him, go back to that same barbershop. And he's thinking, this is the stupidest thing. That guy is not going to come riding back up there, you know. The thief isn't going to come back to the scene. But he said, okay, I'm going to just prove to you. There's nothing you can do. So he goes down there, stands across the street from the barbershop, just standing there watching. Little time goes by. All of a sudden, a young guy rides up on a bicycle, but it's a different color. I don't remember what color the first one was, but this one's painted purple. I remember that. And it's a nice bicycle, painted purple. The guy rides up, leans the bicycle against the wall, goes in the barbershop. As soon as he goes in, the Holy Ghost says, get on that bicycle and ride away as fast as you can. Now, he says, God, you've gone ghetto on me. You're telling me to steal another man's bicycle? He didn't hear anything else. The instruction was, get on the bicycle and pedal away as fast as you can. The only way he could justify it, being a pretty new Christian, he says, well, the devil stole my brother's bike. I guess this is just payback somehow. I don't know. It's just going to balance things out, I guess. I don't know. But he obeyed it. He went and got on the bike and pedaled away as fast as he could, man. He said, man, my quads were aching by the time I wanted to get far enough away where I wouldn't get caught. Well, he gets far enough away, stops for a moment to catch his breath, and the Holy Ghost said, peel back the padding that's on the seat. You know, the cover and the padding, you know, it's on a bicycle. And about that time, the person telling the story says, oh, how am I going to do that? Okay. He says, I knew that my father, when he built the bicycle for my brother, had engraved our family name on the metal seat. And I'm thinking, no. He starts peeling back the pad. There's something engraved there. He pulls it on back, and there's the family name engraved on the bicycle. That was his brother's bike that they had repainted another color. And by following the instruction of the Lord, he reclaimed the wealth that was stolen by the devil. Now, I have obeyed the Lord in a lot of times. Yes, sir. Yeah, go back. I'm skipping something just a minute. Now, that same minister says he learned something from that. He said, that has been the model for my ministry for my whole life. When the Lord says, rent that auditorium and I have no money, he tells me what to do and I do it. When he tells me, buy that building and I have no money, he tells me how to do it. Most of the time it doesn't make sense, but it always works. Now, the reason I'm repenting a little bit, sometimes Sue and I'd be driving home and she'd see a piece of land for sale around here. And Sue, who has not near the same blockage in her mind that I have in mine, she goes, we ought to buy that. And I'm going, it's impossible. We have no money, we have no this, we have no that. And I just wonder now how many times if I would have got quiet and listened, that I would have heard the instruction from the Holy Spirit, this is how you buy it. So all I'm saying is my level of listening has gone up a peg. And I got it now, I got to get in on this. I'll make sure you get this. When this minister was standing across the street and there's that bicycle and the Holy Ghost says, get on that bicycle and pedal, you know, pedal as fast as you can. To him, he thought the Lord was telling him to steal a bicycle. But he's going to obey it anyway, after a little discussion. Now, we've got to be that sure that we're hearing the voice of the Lord. This is not a license for you to go steal bicycles or anything else like that. But it is a license that I understand now I'm going to have to open up my hearing beyond where I have in the past to hear instructions. He one time in the face-to-face called them bizarre. That's a pretty bizarre instruction. But it was sure the Lord. So I'm just sharing that to let y'all know we're coming into a level of obedience that is new to me. And I believe it's going to be new to you. But we've got to go there. Amen. Father, I thank you for today. I did my best to obey you, Lord. I think you're sharing with us what's important. Lord, we sure got this part. We need to stay the course. Not be diverted to the left. Not be diverted to the right. No matter what comes. No matter the easy path. No matter what it looks like. No matter what a blessing. If it takes us away from what you've called us to do, we must recognize it is deception. And Lord, when the enemy comes, he tries to discourage us from gathering together. But you said when the enemy comes, we need to run to this place. Run to the gathering. Run to the saints. Run together, Lord. Lord, we heard you and we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're not some dumb idol made by men's hands out of wood or stone that cannot speak. You are the living God, and you speak from heaven when we hear and obey, Lord. In Jesus' name. We refuse not him who speaks from heaven. Thank you, Lord. We're coming near the end of the year, and there's somebody watching right now that you've been struggling with old sins, and you see it now for how bad it really is. You've been struggling with it and still falling back to it some, and the Lord says, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't let the enemy run you off and tell you there's no hope. There is hope in Christ. There is hope in him. You run to him. You go to 1 John 1:9 and mean it. I am so sorry, Lord. Forgive me. And he will forgive you. He'll cleanse you by the blood of Jesus. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But don't ignore the message from this house. Beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost has also been sent to strengthen us and help us with our weaknesses. You spend time with him, just like he says in the blueprint, and he'll strengthen you. But you need to understand, the way is still narrow. It is a narrow path, and few there be that find it. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. Spend time in prayer and fasting. Spend time in the Word and worship. Because I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. He's not given up on you. He's not taken away his calling from you either. Your best days are ahead of you. The best is yet to come. So, Father, I pray for myself, for this congregation, and everyone who's watching, Lord. Lord, help us stay humble before you. And even with all of our faults, all of our Jabba the Huttness type things, Lord, you still are merciful and kind and long-suffering and gentle. But, Lord, you're bringing us to a revival, a way that has not been walked in about 2,000 years. And, Lord, we must yield even more to your Spirit and focus on what you've called us to do. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who's guiding us and leading us. We're not orphans. And as long as we follow the leadership of your Spirit, we're going to be okay. Father, I thank you for ministering to these. There's people repenting right now of sins, Lord. Things, some of it long-standing, that they've fallen to for a lifetime almost. Strengthen them, Lord, by your Spirit in their inner man. Strengthen them now. Father, receive their repentance and give them a strength they've not known before, that they can walk in the righteousness that you've given by your grace. Thank you, Father. We pray it for them. We pray it for us. We pray it for your body. In Jesus' name, amen.